a Batman.
This is State of Opportunity from Michigan Radio. I'm Dustin Dwyer. Here is a question that is at the core of our work at State of Opportunity. How much of your economic destiny is tied to your parents, and how much do you control? When scientists try to answer this question, what they're measuring is something called social mobility. Now, I've been looking into some new research that suggests your fate is not just tied to your parents, but to ancestors possibly hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And improving opportunity across generations might be a lot harder than anyone imagined. Now, Gregory Clark did not set out to study social mobility. He's an economic historian at the University of California at Davis. He was trying to study how the British elite formed in the lead-up to the Industrial Revolution. So someone suggested he trace last names, surnames. There's a really long record of elite surnames in British society.
For example, in England, we know the names of most people who went to Oxford or Cambridge from about 1200 right up until the present.
But Clark didn't believe these names would tell him much about the status of families over time. A surname is just one branch in a vast family tree, and all the previous work on social mobility suggests that the status of a name would change in three or four generations as a family rose and then fell through the social ranks. But it turns out surnames told Clark a whole lot.
If I just know that you share a rare surname with someone who was wealthy in 1800, I can predict now that you're nine times more likely to attend Oxford or Cambridge. You're going to live 2 years longer than an average person in England. You're going to have more wealth. You're more likely to be a doctor. You're more likely to be an attorney.
This finding was a big surprise. So Clark and some fellow researchers checked results in other countries. They looked at records of elite status, top colleges, listings of doctors and lawyers. They checked how often certain names showed up in these places compared to how common they were in the general population. Then they checked how that comparison changed over time to see how names were moving in and out of elite positions. They checked in the United States, Sweden, South America, Japan.
And astonishingly, there's no more mobility in Sweden on these measures than there is in South America. And that America looks just like England, looks just like Sweden.
And even more astonishingly, the numbers are the same in different time periods. What Clark is saying is if you start from a common background, your chance of making it into the elite is the same in the United States as it is in South America. And it was the same in the Middle Ages as it is today.
It's almost a social constant in the sense of a physical constant like Avogadro's number or Planck's constant.
Joseph Ferry is an economic historian at Northwestern University. He's been following Clark's work on surnames almost from the beginning. He says it's been fascinating.
It is shocking that the number is as constant as it is, but it's hard to find any holes in the argument that he makes suggesting that this really is something that does look the same in a variety of places and times.
Clark's surname method is unique among people who study social mobility. Ferry and most other researchers look at individual families, not just family names. But both approaches have been transformed in the past few years as more information from censuses and household surveys have become searchable online. Until now, nearly all the research into social mobility has only been able to cover two generations. Now it's finally becoming possible to look at many generations. And when you do, it looks like there's a lot less mobility than what we thought. If Clark is right, we can actually put a number on it, regardless of where or when you were born.
We can't predict the individual aspects of where you'll end up. But if we want to rank you overall in society, maybe as much as 60% of the outcome is determined at the time of conception.
And if that number is as fixed as Clark believes it is, it raises some pretty big questions about how to improve opportunity, or whether we even can. With State of Opportunity, I'm Dustin Dwyer, Michigan Radio News.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.